He sends Zayd. He sends Zayd immediately after the iddah to ask Zaynab in marriage. And this is how the hadith goes. عن أنس رضي الله عنه, on the authority of Anas, قال لما قضت عدة زينب, when the time after divorce is over for Zaynab, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لزيد بن حارثة. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم asked Zayd ibn Haritha, said, اذهب فاذكرها عليه. Go to her and mention me to her. Tell her that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم wants your hand in marriage. So, فانطلق حتى أتاها وهي تخمر عجينها. So Zayd came to her and she was making dough for bread. And then, فلما قال زيد فلما رأيتها عظمت في صدري حتى ما أستطيع أن أنظر إليها. When Zayd came to the house, he didn't feel any hatred. He didn't feel any bitterness. He said, I saw her so glorified, so huge in my eyes, that I couldn't even look at her. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already made her, in His knowledge, mother of the believers. To Zayd, now this is the future wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As if her marriage and his problems with her, like, it was never there. He said, she was so big, she was so great in my eyes, I could not put my sight onto her. And then, وَقُلْتُ يَا زَيْنَبُ أَبْشِرِي. Oh Zaynab, be happy. Here's the glad tidings for you. أَرْسَلَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ has sent me to you, بِذِكْرِكِ, to get married to you. So he wants to get married to you. So Zaynab said to Zayd, astonished and surprised, and how can that happen? Her quote father-in-law unquote is now asking her hand in marriage, and she said, ما أنا بصانعة شيئا حتى أؤامر ربي عز وجل. She learned from the first lesson that she had with her marriage to Zayd. She said, I will not do anything until I hear the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she went and started praying. فَقَامَتْ إِلَى مَسْجِدِهَا. She started salah. And then, وَنَزَلَ الْقُرْآنِ, on the authority of Anas is what said. فَالْقُرْآنِ said, this is now verse number 37. وَإِذْ تَقُولُ لِلَّذِي أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِ. And as you say to that who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed His own grace upon him, upon Zayd, by guiding Zayd to Islam, Allah gave him His grace. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed His own mercy and grace upon him. وَأَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِ. And you have also did favors to Zayd by setting him free, by adopting him, by asking for the best, most proper ladies in Quraysh to get married to him. أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ زَوْجَكَ وَاتَّقِ اللَّهِ. As you were telling him that you should hold on to your wife and then you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most worthy of being feared. فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَطَرًا. As the verse continues, after Zayd has finished his life with her, there's no more desire between Zayd and Zaynab. There's no more marital life. زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا. Then Allah, listen to this word, زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا. That means Allah Himself has given Zaynab to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in marriage. This is not anything that any person or any human being had anything to do with, including Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Zaynab, may Allah be pleased with her, despite what any other person that wants to ruin the reputation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may say. This marriage was ordained and decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to this noble book. زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to you. Why? لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَرَجٌ فِي أَزْوَاجِ أَدْعِيَائِهِمْ. So the rest of the believers will take lesson in this. So they would have no problems marrying the ex-wives of those who they have claimed that they would be their sons and adopted daughters, etc. So there is no more adoption. إِذَا قَضَوْ مِنْهُنَّ وَطَرَى. When the marital life between them is over. وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ مَفْعُولًا. and the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed being ordained. And then after this verse was revealed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets up and walks to the house of Zainab, and he goes on to her and he becomes immediately her husband. And that's the only, the first and the last marriage of Islam when there is marriage without witnesses and without a contract of marriage. Because this is a marriage that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. We know in Islam, for each marriage they have to have three conditions. You have to have qubul and ijab. You have to have asking for marriage and an answer, a positive answer replying yes. And then you have to have the permission of the wali. You have to have the permission of whoever is over that woman, whether it's a father, a brother, or even a son, and the man that is in charge of that woman's well-being. And then the third thing, you have to have two witnesses. Now this is the only marriage in Islam that had none of these conditions, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself in his book said زوجناكها, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Zainab to you in marriage. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became her husband immediately. And Zainab used to be very proud of that and used to brag about that. And whenever these, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meet, and everyone tried to show the others who she was and who her family was, whether Juwayriya or Aisha, etc., then Zainab would say that every one of you was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by her own family, except me. I was given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, كُلَّكُنَّ زَوَّجَكُنَّ أَبَاءُكُنَّ إِلَّا أَنَا فَزَوَّجَنِيَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. That she only was given in marriage by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what an honor. What an honor that is. And the first verse, the verse that basically was revealed to clarify the cancellation of adoption is in the same chapter in Surah Al-Ahzab 33, and that is for verse 4 and verse 5. And we'll go through them very quickly, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ما جعل الله لرجل من قلبين في جوفه وما جعل أزواجكم اللائي تظاهرون منكم أمهاتكم وما جعل أدعياءكم أبناءكم ذلك قولكم بأفواهكم والله يقول الحق وهو يهدي السبيل ادعوهم لآبائهم هو أقسط عند الله فإن لم تعلموا آباءهم فإخوانكم في الدين ومواليكم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the second section of that verse number 4, nor he has made your adopted sons your real sons. What does that mean? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if there are these adopted people, that they do not have the right of inheritance, and they do not have the rules of fiqh, and Islam does not apply to them as your own sons. And you have to call them with their own real names. And here's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. That is, but you're saying with your mouth, when you say, this is the son this is my son, adopted son, this is what you are saying. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed some other things. He didn't make him your son or your daughter. He gave him to somebody else, and they will be called for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. But Allah says the truth, and He guides you to the right way. Call them, the adopted sons, by the names of their father. You have to call them by the names of their real biological fathers, because this is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you know not their father's names, call them your brothers in faith. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained and has decreed. This event happened in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, immediately after the battle of Bani Qurayza, on the fifth year of Hijrah. I'd like to take a short break just to see if there are any questions related to this particular event, and then inshallah we will go on with the events that followed this ghazwa. Yes, brother. I'm not sure if it was months or years. It's not really, I didn't see it anywhere. I think it was in Medina. Allahu A'lam. Yeah. They didn't. Yeah, they didn't. No, no. Usama ibn Zayd was not her son. He was from Banu Kalb in Arabia, in the Najd, in the area of the middle Saudi Arabia, where Riyadh is almost is now.
Enslavement did not follow a racial line. Enslavement was power and invasion. So he was invaded by certain unfortunate circumstances.
Right.
So where did his nobility go? Why is he not noble?
If I understand your question correctly, why is Zayd not considered a noble man after all, although he came from a